Amen and good morning. How are you all doing? I don't know about you, but what a great service, wasn't it? I mean, that worship was great. That worship was so good. Thank you, worship team. Those two songs, it was just the lyrics were so good, and to be able to, you know, sing that from our hearts to the Lord, it was amazing. It was good. Good time of prayer as well. As for Justin, so Drew was sharing this idea, and I was just thinking about what if, right? What if Justin, he is with Jesus, and we believe he is, and, you know, he's talking to Jesus, and he's like, my goodness, I don't even know how I made it here, you know? Jesus, I didn't like to go to church, and I had my own problems, and maybe I tried, and I just couldn't go, and but finally, I found this church, and Jesus would go like, is that the one that meets in the brewery? He's like, how do you know? How do you know? And Jesus would go like, well, I led them there because I knew you were going there. I knew you, Justin, and I prepared the way for you, and you are here now with me. So, you know, the realities of heaven are so, so true. So, so true. If we ever wonder why, you know, meet in a brewery, right? Just remember Justin. Just remember Justin. You know, we are all accustomed to churches where, you know, we are comfortable and we have great environments, different set of environments for different people. But this is the warehouse that he came to play, and he walked in and he found Jesus, and he kept on coming back because Jesus was here with an open invitation for those that were worried and carrying a heavy, you know, thing. And so yesterday, as we were there celebrating, and what a blessing that we were able to meet his family, because can you imagine if we, like, after like a month or two, found out that, you know, Justin died and we didn't know? Even that detail of God connecting, you know, his family to us, and Drew, he did a great, great job, you know, with the message, with, you know, and everybody that went there, several people went, you know, throughout the afternoon, and the family, they were so, so thankful, so, so thankful. So I'm so proud of this church. So proud of you in many ways. You know, so let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for your presence here with us. We are not just like playing Sunday. We are not doing this because it's the religious thing to do. Jesus, we are here because you live inside of us. We are here to give you the praise that is due to your name. We are here because we believe your word. We believe in the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. We believe in encouraging and building each other up. We believe in helping when we are going through difficult times, and praying to each other, and helping in different ways. So, Father, thank you so much for Good News Church. Thank you for this body of believers and maybe non-believers and friends just meeting with one purpose, which is to glorify you and to love and serve one another. And bless your message to our hearts now, Father. We love you and we thank you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. So last week, Drew, he started talking about, you know, this great subject, which is about, you know, a whole healthy life, right? I don't know if you are a person of resolutions. I here and there, you know, I like to make like plans. I think the beginning of the year, it's great because it's just a new clean like sheet for us to, you know, just draw with God's help. But I love this topic, but I love what Drew shared about this New Year's resolution. Number one, and it goes like this: to remember that my best efforts to accomplish all additional resolutions will fail when relying on my own will, determination, and strength. Change a course best when I surrender completely to God in prayer and faith and draw on the strength and power of His Spirit through Christ working in and through me. And the summary was, I can't, but He can, right? I can't, but He can. And then we said that, you know, we desire as Good News Church, we desire to be a church that we desire to focus on health and growth in every area of our lives, you know, soul, spiritual health, you know, talking about our purpose, our identity, eternity, body, physical and mental health, nutrition and exercise and rest, people, relational health, marriage, family and neighbors, planet, environmental health, conservation, protection, and sanitation. So we want to do that under, you know, this root here. We want to be rooted and satisfied in Christ and let all other things flow from there. Amen. If you didn't have a chance to listen to last message, it was great. It was really good. It's in the website. You can go there and you can listen. You will be built up. But here, today, if you feel like I have like two messages to share, maybe you're right. It will feel like two different messages, but hopefully God will put all into one and maybe we will be all blessed at the very end here. But I love these verses, and I'm going to be sharing a little bit of, you know, a little bit of my story growing up in the faith and something that happened that made it a big difference in my life. But here in 3 John, we have this beautiful verse that says, "Dear friend, I hope," and here it's John writing, you know, his third little booklet to a man named Gaius, who probably was the leader of the church, that one of the churches in Western, you know, Asia at that time. And he wrote, "Dear friend, Gaius, I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in the spirit." And, you know, there is a reason that we have what we have in the Bible, right? There is a reason that we believe that God, you know, really inspired the whole Word of God. And I believe that God, He wants us, you know, He wants us to be healthy in our bodies as we are in our spirit as well. We are not just bodies. We are not just like a mechanical thing, you know, walking around. We are not robots, right? Because of the Creator, we are this beautiful, you know, piece of art created in His image. Each one of us, individually, we are this masterpiece. Peace, and God wants us to, you know, take care of it. God wants us to be healthy, but He wants us to be healthy in the whole thing, right? I love this other verse here. It's in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says, "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again." So, once again, spirit, soul, and body. God wants us to be healthy in this area that makes our own lives. And the promise that I love right after this, and it's one of our Rachel and I, one of our favorite verses is 1 Thessalonians 5:24. It says that the one who calls you, he is faithful and he will do it. He will cause for you to be blameless, spirit, soul, and body, as we allow him to do. So I just wanted to continue, you know, on that. But before I do that, how many of you here are familiar with the four spiritual laws? The four spiritual laws, if you ever heard. Okay, a few. So I love the four spiritual laws. When I was in Bible college, one of my first classes in Bible college was evangelism. And the reason why was because the teacher, he was a missionary in Brazil. His name was Clifford. We call him Cliff. And in Brazil, we call him Cliffy. So, you know, when people went there from America and saw us calling him Cliffy, they're like, why are you calling him Cliffy? Because that's what we call him in Portuguese, Cliffy. So my friend Cliffy, my friend Cliff, he was the teacher for that class of evangelism. And he taught us the four spiritual laws. And simply saying, you know, just as there are physical laws that govern the physical universe, there are spiritual laws as well that governs our relationship with God. And the first spiritual law is this one here. God loves you, and he offers a wonderful plan for your life. God loves you, and he offers a wonderful plan for your life. And how do we know that? If we open God's word, we know about God's love, John 3:16. You know, he so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. How do we know about God's plan? God's word tells us too, you know, that he has a plan for our lives. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. So not only God loves us, but he has a plan for our lives, and that plan has, you know, abundantly things that we might live our lives abundantly. And God, he wants to show us on his word. So that's the first spiritual law. But the question is, you know, why people cannot like experience, you know, God's love and God's plan for our lives. And the law number two in this little booklet, by the way, this is a booklet that you can download as an app. And this is a great, great tool for you to share faith with someone. So we learn about this booklet, and we use it like again and again and again with friends and family, just evangelizing. So why man cannot, you know, in his zone, know God's love and plan? And the reason we know very well, law number two says man is sinful and he is separated from God. He was born in this situation. You know, David in Psalms 51, he said, you know, in iniquity I was conceived, right? And we know because of sin, you know, we are born in a state of separation. And therefore, we can't really experience God's love and his plan for our lives. And nobody's making up this. The Bible tells us also, Romans 3:23, that all have sinned, all of us, and we fall short from the glory of God. And about man being separated from God, Romans 6:23, it says that the wages of sin is death. And death here, it's not just like, you know, stopping from existing. It's separation from God. So it's devastating, right? And, you know, the picture here, it's this gap. How can sinful man, you know, have a relationship and reach out to God? And we know that, you know, all our efforts to get closer to God on ourselves just fall short. And the third law explains the only way to bridge this gap to God. And law number three, Jesus Christ is God's only provision for man's sin. Through him, you can know and experience God's love and plan for your life. Good news here. Jesus Christ, he is the only provision for man's sin. And through him, we can experience God's love and his plan of abundant life. And again, how do we know that? God's word tells us that he died for us in Romans 5:8, that he rose again in 1 Corinthians 15, and that he is the only way. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." See, God's word, it's clear. And Jesus is the only way to a relationship with God. It's not the church. It's not the pastor. It's not, you know, the very spiritual person in the church. It is Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is the way that we can bridge the gap, man to God. But it's not our efforts trying to, you know, reach out to God. It was God's love and effort reaching out to us through the person of Jesus Christ. But we also know that this is not enough just to know these three laws. There is another law that talks about the fact that we must individually receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. Then we can know and experience God's love and plan for our lives. So when we open up our hearts and we receive the gift of God, Jesus, right? Something happened, you know, a transformation happens. You know, we are given the very life that God planned for us to have. And we know that in his word as well. John 1:12, it says, "As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become a child of God, even to those who believe in his name," God's word. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "By grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast." Ephesians 2:8 and 9. And then when we receive Jesus, you know, this transformation inside of us started to happen, right? It's a slowly process, but it's a surely process. And I love this because, see, a man without God, he has self on the center of his life. And we all did, right? We are self-centered. But see, when we receive Jesus, when we are born again, we have this chance to dethrone self from the throne of our lives and have Jesus Christ take place at the center of our lives. And that's why, so it is incredible to be like a born again. That's why when we talk about Christianity and being a Christian, we are not talking about just like going to church. We are not talking about just like doing good things, not being such a bad person, trying to do our best. No, we are talking about something way more than that. We are talking about like taking self out of the center of our lives and replacing with the very presence of the one who created us. And folks, that's what makes you and me as a Christian someone beautiful. Beautiful. It's to have Jesus Christ in the center of our lives and not our own self. And I know, you know, it is a fight. I wish it was just a button that, you know, we turn it on, you know, and Jesus was in that center of our lives, you know, and he's there. He is in us, but he wants us and he needs us in collaboration with him and his word to take the center, to take the throne of our lives. And when this has happened, you are, I am, the best version of myself. That's why when this happens, you know, when you walk in the room, something different, it's walking in the room. And it's not you. It's the presence of God in you. It's a miracle. It's the very creator of everything, God, you know, inside of each one of us. And that makes, that changes everything, right? That changes everything. And then I learned this very thing here, and I thought this was beautiful. They say that us Latinos, we are very, very emotional people, and we are. Kyle, you are in that boat as well. I have seen you playing soccer. Yes, we are. We are very emotional people. You know, we feel, right? We feel. Right now I'm feeling, right? But I learned, and I'm so glad I learned as well in my beginning stage of like walking with God, that, you know, the train of my life, there is a way for that train to be like, you know, in proper place. And I learned that, you know, we should not depend on our feelings and our emotions. You know, the promise of God's word, the Bible, not our feelings, is the authority. The Christian lives life by faith, which is trust in the trustworthiness of God himself and his word. This train illustrates the relationship among fact. And what's the facts? You know, it's God and his words is our facts. You know, and then faith. What is faith? It's our trust in God and the letter of love that he left it for us, his word. And then feelings. You know, the result of our faith and our obedience. So God wants the train of our lives to run like this. With him first, with us believing him by faith, and then we respond to that with our feelings. We respond to that with our emotions, right? But we do not want to put the caboose, you know, in front of the train because it's not going to go anywhere. And we have done that. We know that. You know, we want to have God leading us. And that brings me to the message that I want to share with you today. That was also a great message. If you download that little booklet, I'm telling you, you can sit beside someone and you can say, hey, have you heard about the four spiritual laws? Can I share it with you? And you go talking about that. It's a great talk. It's a great way to lead someone to faith in Jesus Christ. You are going to love. But what I want to talk about, it's like God wants us to be emotionally healthy, right? He does. And this is very, very important because, you know, God, he designed our emotions and feelings to be gauges in our lives, but not to be guides in our lives. And this is very important. He designed our emotions to report to us and not to dictate to us. And why this is important? This is important because we live in a world that even our communication right now, it's through what? Emoticons, right? It's through like emotional little face, right? And we all are. In different situations and phases of our lives, we are emotional beings, and there is no problem with that. God created us with feelings and emotions. But the problem is when you see, you know, a meeting in Congress this last week or 2 weeks ago, and someone grabbing the other person by the neck in a fight in Congress. The problem is when you are in an airplane traveling and a fight starts happening because someone could not control their emotions. And they are like taking out their clothes and they are fighting, you know, I don't know how many thousand feet up there. We live in a world where people are being led by their emotions, by their feelings. And it happens to us too. If we are not aware of the fact that God has a better plan, and the plan is to live by faith, the plan is to let God direct us and not our emotional. So, sometimes when we say, like, just like I said today, I'm a very emotional person. That necessarily, it's not a good compliment for you, let me tell you. It's not. Because emotions should be just like part of our being. You know, it was created by God to respond, not to dictate. Your emotion, my emotions, it was not made to be the boss of our lives. Jesus wants to be the boss and the Lord over our lives. So when we let, and folks, it happens to all of us. And God wants to give us. He has a better plan. And he wants us to give victory and control over something that can cause a big, big wreck in our lives. So as we said, God, he wants to train us to live our lives by faith, trust in him. Our feelings should follow our faith. Yes, our feelings, it will be that gauge that we will fail, right? But then instead of like reacting immediately, we want to filter those very feelings by God's word, by God's instruction. And we want to make wise decisions and not just like necessarily emotional decisions. God is calling us to live our lives by faith and not by sight or feelings. And again, it is so easy to live life by feelings. God, he wants us, I love this verse, Romans 1:17. This is good news. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Again, the blessing of feelings, the blessing of the emotions that God created us with should never be the imperative as much as, depending the situation and the circumstances, our emotions wants to take over, right? Our feelings wanted to, make that very thing that is right in front of us the truth. And not necessarily it is, but if you let it, it will become the truth for you in that very moment. And then you will find out a day later that, wow, was not really what I was thinking. Was not really what, the real situation was. But see, they should never be the boss. They should be indicative. They should report to us. But God, he has a better plan, and that in Galatians 5:23, he wants the very essence of him in us that makes who we are come out of us. And I love, Galatians 5:23, 22, 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's forbearance, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Someone just told me that, their resolution for this year, it's to live each fruit of the Spirit, 1 week. Like, the first week was love. The other week was joy, and I want to, study, and I want to do my best to live this week in joy. The next week, peace. I'm going to study, and I'm going to, live my life in peace, forbearance, kindness. And I thought, like, what a great idea. What a great idea. God wants us to do that. And then, the following verse says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And then when, you know, those emotions that we have, and they come in different ways. It could be emotion of delight, affection, fear, anger, joy, sadness, grief, happiness, anxiety, boredom, calmness, confusion, craving, disgust, pain, excitement, horror, relief, nostalgia, and there is more. Let it be submitted and balanced by who we are in Jesus Christ and what we believe in His Word. That changes everything. That changes everything. And I want to finish with this verse here. You know, I don't know how you came here today. It seemed that all of us came here just fine and not like being driven by our emotion. But we never know, right? We never know. But here it's the invitation from God's Word. Do not be anxious for anything. But in every situation, by prayer, by petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So the train, you can go to the last picture there for me. The train of life that God desires for us, it is His Word going front. Faith, our trust, you know, in the Holy Spirit. And then we bring the package of the rest of who we are, feeling in circumstances by, you know, being guided by our faith and trust in God and having Him at the center of our lives, directing us and moving us as we go. So emotional health, it's something that it is a privilege for us as a believer. We should know, because God gave us tools how to control our emotions, live in the Spirit, and not in our own like flesh. Amen. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You for Your plan for our lives. And Lord, as we think about this subject today, we ask You, Lord, that You help us, all of us, and me here as a very emotional person. Help me to grow, Father. Help me to grow in this area, living my life by faith, being guided by the Holy Spirit through Your Word, and not necessarily my feelings. Because when I do that, Father, that's when I experience the promises and the victories that You have in store for my life, for our lives. Father, You know each one that it's here. You know our upbringings. You know the inside of us. You know you are the one that created us. But You are the one also that know how to grow us, how to mature us. And Father, my prayer today is that You would have 100%, Lord, openness to grow us, to direct us as we open up ourselves to You, so that Your will be done in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you.